Nice. Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with me, Pete, and along with me this week I have Ben.
Hello.
Kirk.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
And Eddie, you've taken a dip into the streaming world, haven't you?
What a weird order to do it. For a start, I was like, why did you do Kirk last? Because we haven't seen Kirk in fucking weeks.
I know. We'll come to that.
Yeah, I streamed on Thursday. Check out on YouTube. Is it on YouTube, Ben?
I was going to do it today, but we haven't got a thumbnail, and I realised that I'd have to either bother Kirk or make a thumbnail myself. So it will be on YouTube.
This episode's released, it will be on YouTube.
Yeah, no, that's true. I should get that done tomorrow, so it'll be on YouTube, yeah. So, for the purpose of this conversation, it's on YouTube.
Well, that was a struggle. That was a struggle. Fantastic.
Eddie's stream was excellent, though. It was really, really fun. I thought you were good. Didn't read a lot of chat, though, did you? Didn't read a lot of chat.
No. That's my first one. What do you want me to do? But yeah, no. It was like in between games, my tactic was to quickly read them, but obviously it loads so quickly with that quick game function. I think next time, I didn't even notice like the rips, like it was the Irish prick who had to go at my
John had to go.
You're calling
John an Irish prick?
Well, I'm calling him a prick. How about that?
Oh, John, don't take it, mate. Fucking slander him.
He made some very valid comments about your wallpaper.
My wallpaper is glorious. I bet this wallpaper genuinely is really expensive. I will put money on it right now.
Your wallpaper looks like the end result of liver fibrosis, Eddie. Like,
no, I promise you, it's worth more than your house, Pete.
Wow. Okay.
I've seen
that wallpaper in person, it's not good. It's
not pretty. Oh, it's ugly. Not. It's ugly. It's like it's stained. I don't know if that's
it's the look. Yeah, look, I really
yeah,
don't
the stained look.
For the record, classic tea stained. Like, no, I'm telling you now. This is the classic tea stained look. I know because this is my parents' place, and I know how much they like spending on stupid shit like wallpaper. I bet this is like Laura Ashley, like fucking 400 quid a roll job. Okay, I'll come back to next week with a quote.
Very defensive.
Ask him.
I know. I don't know why, because I do not like it. Yeah, it's got that faded look halfway through it, doesn't it? Like every few, well, half a meter, it has the faded.
Yeah, it looks aged. Harsh paper round.
Greasy.
Yeah.
Greasy.
I was going to do what you guys do and stick loads of gaming stuff behind me, but then I thought no, because then I'm like.
I was going to say, why can't you just put like some sort of flag behind yourself?
Yeah, I've
just
got loads of shit. I've got loads of stuff around me, but you know, I don't want to be that poser that puts it behind you, like you pricks.
To be fair, Kirk, I think there's something better he could probably put on the wall behind him as well, isn't there? Which is also why you've not been here.
That's a fucking great segue, Pete.
That was masterful.
That was very good. I was like, where's he going with this?
I was waiting for my goddamn option, but you both kept talking. Flags, and come on.
I wish I fucking thought of it myself. Yes, I've been extremely busy. My business, Frame of Game, has kind of taken off a bit now. Even so much so that Cliff Bledinski, I don't know how to say his surname, but Cliffy B, who helped make Gears of War, even retweeted someone's post with the Gears of War frames that he bought from me, and it's just gone fucking nuts.
I literally am
inundated with orders at the moment, and I don't know what to do with myself. So please, if you want to order, please do. I'll get to them in due time. But
that's two very conflicting sentences.
I know.
Give him a few weeks and then order another rush, that'd be great.
To be fair, Kirk made one for me, Cyberpunk.
Nice.
And the quality was far better than I expected, Kirk.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a polite way of saying it. Our regular listener
is very, very good.
Mr. Llama Fluff and
Mr. Llama Fluff and Metalli John, they've both bought from me as well, and which is always nice. But if you like games, you got a favourite game, come give me a shout, because I'll do whatever you want, really. So if it's not on the site, give me a shout.
He means he'll frame whatever you want, not anything else you might have taken.
I should have made that very clear. I should have made that very clear. Sorry.
He doesn't bill by the hour, it's per product, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. But so in the future, if I am off for a week or two, it's going to be because I'm fucking stacked with that, so...
And not because we've taken the piss out of him too much and he's decided to quit.
No. I care not what you say about me.
We'd like to refute any suggestions that the bullying was what. Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think I think Ben said it a few weeks ago, or maybe it's like a month ago now, where he said, I was off for a week, but I think I was ill. And he said, it's when just you two were on and Eddie wasn't there or something. Mm. I can't remember. And he said about, I don't think that's what would break the camel's back. referring to bullying, and I was like, that's just kind of stuck with me in my head now. It's definitely not the bullying. It's not the bullying, guys, okay? I'm just fucking busy.
You're weak.
And also,
someone else's podcast this week.
I was just about to segue myself because I was kind of went a bit silent there, and I was like, okay. Mm. But yeah, no, that prick, Christopher, you know, the Irish one who does What the Fuck Do You Want podcast.
They're all pricks.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No. Okay. Yes, I was on his show. It came out on Monday, and a half-hour episode of me and him talking about why I want a Metal Gear Solid remake, which I thought went pretty decent. So
yeah, I thought the pod was very good, Kirk. I mean, I wasn't really on board with being called a pet gimp.
Yes.
Pet gimp?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he said, because obviously me and Ben went on his show a little while back, and he said, we've got a returning guest this week, and this time he hasn't brought his pet gimp with him.
I wasn't totally on with that one, but you know what? It's fine. It's fine.
It pins your dynamic a certain way, doesn't it?
Yes, I know. You know what? I was actually thinking that. I was thinking, I guess that kind of works. And he hasn't even met Ben, but he's a bit gimpish.
He is very gimpish. He's been all over
hurtful.
Twitter today saying he's not on board with it. He's not 100% about it. But then he didn't say he's not 100% off of it either.
No, because you have to show some humility and some ability to take a joke, don't you?
So. We all know you can't take a joke, Ben.
Absolutely
not. To be fair,
it does explain. Hate jokes. No, not
It does
not
explain
me.
Where you occasionally hear Ben undoing a zip before he talks, though, doesn't it?
He tries to edit them out. He tries to edit, but he doesn't get them all the time.
I can't get everyone.
yeah, go check it out. It was a good one, and go support him. He's a good lad. So
yes, indeed. I'm so glad you found time for him after not being able to for us for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, it makes it
that's old news.
That's old news. Yeah,
and he didn't do the stream, so you could argue 3, but fine.
Yeah, fucking hell, Kurt, you've dipped your responsibilities, haven't you, in the last couple of weeks?
Really,
yeah.
Yeah, really.
Slopey
have,
shoulders, Kirk, over there.
Slopey shoulders.
Slopey shoulders. Slopey shoulders.
That's the phrase, isn't it?
I think so, seriously, we've probably got to start soon because we've got 8 minutes so far where we haven't mentioned games except
banter,
in passing.
Banter.
That's good.
But we should probably give some form of structure to that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's start with the news then, shall
we? That's you. Just go for it. All right. Okay. So we'll start with the quick news, as we do. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, the new sequel to Fallen Order, that's been announced as next gen only. So cool. If you've got a previous gen and you're all up in that game, then... probably need to get on board the new consoles. Knights of the Old Republic 2, famed Star Wars game. And we were only saying this recently, Pete. Why is nobody ever porting that game? Well, it is being ported, and it's coming to Switch on the 8th of June.
Long deserved. So that's, and an excellent
yeah, so
game.
That's, yeah, excellent, excellent game. And so I should pick that up just for the collection anyway.
For sure. Of course.
And on the next-gen console... kind of train. There has been a presentation last week by Chinese tech giants TCL Technology, and on one of the slides in their PowerPoint presentation on stage, it had a like a timeline of consoles, and it had 2023, 2024, and it said new PS5 Pro and new Xboxes were listed there with specs including native 8K and 120 Hertz refresh rates. So
it's got a little,
I don't know how, we don't know what that mean. Do they have any knowledge about this? Have they been asked to work on these, whatever? But it was like at a tech conference. So
I mean, I know this is quick news, but I don't see how that's going to work, to be honest with you, even with a mid cycle refresh, because even the current consoles can't do 4K 120 at the moment. So how are they going to do 8K 120?
What was it? To be honest, Kurt, I don't know. I don't think it's native or is it upscaled, but on the PS5 box, doesn't it say 8K sport already?
It says that on the, I think it says it on the Series Xbox as well.
Yeah.
But I think if it was running at like 30 frames a second, it can do 8K, but not 120.
The thing is, like, who's got an 8K TV anyway?
No one.
So, and I don't think anybody will for a while. And 2023, 2024, well, consoles probably won't even be in the shops until 2024.
I was going to say, have they even really launched? Like the first well, gen?
Think,
like,
no, well, PlayStation, no. PlayStation 5 sold 20-odd million, I think. So,
true.
So yeah. that's something. That's something.
I doubt it's what they were going for initially.
No, because if it were out there, I reckon they could sell to demand, couldn't they?
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't know how true that is, but it hit the news, so there we go. Next one is there is a new Sega project to be announced on the 3rd of June in a presentation at 12 noon UK time, and they've said the term big. It's big. It's a big announcement. So this could be in the console space. It could be a Dreamcast Mini, something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's something to be excited about if you're a Sega fan, potentially Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. And next one, PS Plus games for June have leaked. So PS Plus, we all know, is getting an overhaul at the end of June in kind of America, Europe time, but it's already come out in Asia. But the last free games, or the ones on the basic tier, have been leaked for June, and supposedly they are God of War 2018, which I don't know how many times they've given that away. Not on PS Plus, but it's like on the PS5 collection and that kind of stuff, so it's not a huge deal. But there's God of War 2018, there's Naruto to Boruto, Shinobi Striker on PS4. Interesting fact about that, I've got a t-shirt. I wore that to the gym this morning, actually.
Okay.
That game.
And
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. That's the PS5, PS4 game.
Okay.
So, really? I mean, it's not a particularly strong month.
But yeah, we also have one other piece of quick news, which I literally spotted about 5 minutes before this, even though it came out 4 days ago, I think, which is that No Man's Sky have announced another free LC, I guess, Leviathan. Yes. Which is featuring space whales and roguelike mechanics, which could be an interesting change-up, I think.
I think all the DLCs sound so fucking good. You see the pictures of those space whales. It looks amazing. I just wonder how long you have to play the game for before you reach any of these DLCs.
It's a very good question. I mean, quite a few of the previous ones have kicked in straight away.
Yes, like the building ones.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
playing it recently...
the storyline one.
It recently, you go back and you go, wow, this is a completely different game from the off.
Exactly, yeah.
But I wonder, like, this type of thing, it looks so fucking cool, but when does that get incorporated in the game?
Should play it. Take a while to get to it. But
what's that, Kirk? Sorry?
You should play it and then find out.
Yeah, I mean, that is an option.
He probably will.
Yeah.
That is a readily available option because it's on Game Pass. So.
Yeah, there you go. Lad, come back next week. Lovely.
Okay, thanks. And that's the quick news. Oh, but now let's go into the main news. Is that the progression?
Fine. Yes.
Yeah. Fine. I didn't know whether it's going to go back to Pete. He'd go right now to the main news, but yeah. Okay, we're going on to the main news. The first big news story of the week. We've had a Sony State of Play announced for Thursday, 2nd of June.
Yeah, heard about this.
Fucking A. So that kicks off really the big presentations in June that we're expecting. And plugging last week's episode where we had a special, we had it with Dylan from the Offshore Gamescast, mm-hmm. where we talked about all of our hopes and dreams and predictions for June and what's going to be announced. And we did talk about the Sony event. It's coming on Thursday, so day after this pod gets released. It will be 30 minutes long and it will be 11 p.m. in the UK. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're looking to is probably going to see more God of War Ragnarok, probably the first gameplay.
Yeah,
they've got to really start showing that. It's been rated now. That game has now been rated, I think, in Korea. And so therefore it must be, the assumption is that it will be released in the next few months. So it's actually looking a lot sooner than we probably think. So God of War is probably going to get a showing. Forspoken, we haven't really heard much about that after the delay.
True.
I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't mentioned and actually got delayed till next year. That's a big prediction. That's possible. And then we're going to have Square Enix type games, Final Fantasy 16 or maybe 7 Remake Part 2.
Yeah.
Death Stranding 2, that's got a lot of mentions recently with Norman Reedus coming out and kind of leaking that was in started production. So there's a lot going on. But one of the big things that they said they'd be covering was PSVR 2 games.
Yeah,
so they will be showing off some of those.
They've said.
Yeah, they are. They have said that that's going to be in there, which is pretty cool. And what is cool about that is that obviously Microsoft are not in that market.
Yes.
So Microsoft are obviously saying, we don't think VR is a market yet, a viable market. PlayStation are backing it, and it would be interesting to see what they're backing it with, whether they're going all in on it. So, yeah, I look forward to this. I'm a bit disappointed that it's only 30 minutes. I think we talked about this last week, Pete, where we thought it would be a bit longer, didn't we?
Definitely, yeah. So I'm surprised it's that short. And I think a big focus will be PS Plus as well. I think they're going to try and make that a splash.
Especially seeing it's coming out in most places in June. That is a prime place for them to be talking about it, isn't it?
Massively so, yeah. And I think it's the biggest thing they need to push right now. They need to get it into market, really. I do think we'll see God of War as well, and that's probably the thing to be excited about for the majority. Not for us. Literally any of us, but the majority. And then, I mean, the VR stuff will be interesting, I'm sure, but also none of us really care.
I'm looking forward to it. I would care if I was probably going to buy it, but I don't. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be fucking expensive. I wouldn't be surprised if the PSVR costs the same as the PlayStation 5.
There's actually been, I read today, I saw something on it yesterday, Twitter actually. Apparently a couple of fairly credible leakers have said that there's quite possibly going to be a Modern Warfare 2 small reveal with VR compatibility.
Yes, because there was a leak about a potential list of ordering of games that will be appearing in this.
I think the thing you're referring to has actually been debunked now. But
Has it? It was only yesterday that it was leaked.
I don't know for definite, but it looked a bit shady. But the whole because what is it? It's the actual reveal for Modern Warfare 2 is the 8th of June.
At the actual Call of Duty event.
Yeah. So I think this is just going to be a very small snippet as part of the VR2, the PSVR2's kind of like sizzle reel kind of thing. But that'd be quite cool to see, especially if it's going to have some VR compatibility. So.
Yeah. Also heard that there could be Resident Evil 4 remake stuff.
So. That everyone's asking for that.
Could be interesting.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Well, it's viewed as the best Resident Evil game, and that would be. I think people would think that's quite special, especially because the Resident Evil 4 VR game has been very successful.
Well received, hasn't it? And then you obviously got your remakes 2 and 3 that were, you know, pretty good for all intents and purposes.
Remind me which one Resident Evil 4 was.
The action one.
The one, it went more action-y, and you're playing as Leon, you go to like a village.
Yeah, village.
Yes, I know the one. I actually played quite a lot of that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's widely viewed as one of the better ones, isn't it, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the woman's name's Sheva, isn't it?
No, you're thinking of 5.
Oh, I'm thinking of that one. That one annoyed me. Oh, yeah, that one,
that one was also actiony, wasn't it? I played a lot of 5
was
uni.
Very actiony. 4 was like the bridge gap between the more survival horror and then the action, which 5 was predominantly. But I think a remake of 4 would be quite fantastic.
Okay. Have we had remakes of 1, 2 and 3?
2 and 3.
Yeah, current gen, we've had 2 and 3. But 1 was only recently done. I say recently, I think. They re-released it on the GameCube, didn't they? So they brought it up to speed.
Yeah, they did release it on the GameCube, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay. Fantastic. What else has been going on in the world?
I'll go next. EA up for sale. So this news story did come out last week, but it's pretty big, so I thought I'd include it because we didn't do our usual show last week. So
we didn't.
Yeah, this one's from Eurogamer. Electronic Arts is reportedly pursuing acquisition and merger opportunities with a number of different potential suitors. That's according to Puck, which yesterday revealed that EA has been persistent in pursuing a sale with a number of companies, including Amazon, Apple, Disney, and NBC Universal, emboldened in the wake of the Microsoft-Activision deal. What do you guys think of this? Pretty big, isn't it?
pretty big, but is anyone else thinking none of those companies seem like companies that should be buying EA?
No, they definitely, I mean, yeah, none of them seem like it, but I bet at least half want to get their dirty little fingers into the game.
I have heard about Apple, and I know they've got the Apple Arcade thing, but none of those companies, I mean, Amazon have made a few games, don't get me wrong, and they've got New World and stuff like that, so they are doing something, but none of those companies really make games. They know nothing about games today. No. And one thing I have heard about this is that the guy in charge of EA wants to stay in charge after the merge or something like that, or the acquisition. So he wants to stay in charge of EA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So maybe it doesn't matter as much, but what would be good for gamers is if one of these companies had a fantastic gaming division, or if it's somebody that can legitimately buy them. But EA are so big that you've got to go to companies like fucking Amazon and say, do you want to buy? I wouldn't be surprised if like Netflix was in that mix. You know?
I wouldn't at all. And it could be a good or it could be a really bad thing if one of them picks them up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Amazon decide to pick it up, then that could be their way into gaming and the amount of money they have behind them.
Well, they are making, I mean, they make New World, don't they?
Yeah.
And New World has done very well, am I thinking?
I think it's doing really well. It sort of did quite well at the beginning. I can't remember if it's still doing well.
I think it's doing all right. I mean, I know it's one game, so one game doesn't make a whole gaming division, but at least they've got something to it. But
don't you think that it's good that if they buy a whole bloody, you know, company like EA, then at least they don't, and especially if the guy still carries on after the merger, then that's great because Amazon don't really need to do anything and it could be their way in.
The big thing is that there's only a finite number of developers that are at the AAA studios, you know, and EA have a shit ton of them. Yeah. So it is... you know, this is a huge thing. I mean,
I was just going to say, my kind of thing on this is, I know EA have got a lot of IP, but what do they have really other than a lot of sports games? And especially now that the deal's gone through with FIFA, like, it's a bit of a weird time to be asking to be bought when your main franchise is going to be, well... Is it going to be a success or not, basically, because the FIFA brand name isn't going to be there?
I think they've been preparing for that, actually, because I think one of the key things they're doing is preparing them for sale by getting rid of the FIFA branding and saying, look, we've already dealt with that situation. And don't forget that if you actually look at the top selling games in America and top played games, you're looking at Madden and you're looking at NBA.
Yeah.
They make it. Presumably, EA make an NBA game.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm going to say they do. I'm going to say they do.
2K, but
maybe 2K. So maybe that's not it. But sports games are huge, is what I'm getting at. Sports games are absolutely massive.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but
NBA Live. NBA Live. Sorry. Right,
cool. Is that the one that's doing really well? Or is it the 2K one?
I don't know.
Regardless, sports games do fucking well. I mean, Madden, it sells a shit ton, and they just some years they don't do anything to it. They just fucking smash it out.
I saw a list of the top, I think it was top 10 sold games, as in not microtransactions, of 21. And fuck me, I think like five of them were sports games.
They're always the most popular. Like.
So I'm looking at the top 10 most played console games in Q1 of 2022 in the US. Hmm. You got Minecraft, GTA, blah, blah, Sims 4, weird. Fortnite, Call of Duty, Warzone, and then Madden, NFL 22, and then NBA 2K22. So it is 2K. Okay, yeah. But sports games are so fucking huge. FIFA's massive, and I reckon FIFA will continue that trend because it's got no competition. What they've done is brilliant because they've got rid of that FIFA license. People will still call it FIFA, and they have no competition.
Yeah, almost a perfect time. Now they killed Pro, didn't they? What, like yes. 2 years ago? So it's kind of perfect timing because before that could have been a dodgy decision.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When that conversation still existed. Yep. But now you've just got Rockstar going, hey, we think FIFA branding is amazing. Maybe we can make a football game. Okay. And don't forget, I think the next FIFA game is still EA FIFA branding. I think there's one more that falls under this deal. So I think it's the game after. So they've still got a lot of time to be mixing up.
Very true, yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-mm. Anyway, next story.
Yeah, I think we probably should move on at that point, shouldn't we? We've tangented a lot so far, guys.
Yeah, loving a tangent.
We even said we've got so much material, maybe be a bit quick this week, but no.
No, it's not happened. It's not happened.
It's going to be a longy.
Yeah, I'm taking it slow here as well, but we should probably crack on with talking about Dark Souls. because obviously, well, we've now had updates that they are working on getting it back online. This is the PC Dark Souls games, obviously. And particularly,
yeah, 1, 2, and 3, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's obviously a big thing for the PvP community. That's the major reason. And
there is no PvP community.
Well, yeah, that is kind of the issue. They've all moved to Elden Ring, haven't they? But anyway, back in January, this was temporarily deactivated. That was the phrasing being used. And yeah, several weeks after that, Bandai Namco offered an update saying that due to the time required to set up proper testing environments, online services for the Dark Souls series on PC will not resume until after the release of Elden Ring. Now, Elden Ring came out in February. It's May. And it's still not back up and running. And yeah, we have at least seen that it's in progress. They gave a statement, didn't they? I'm trying desperately to find the quote on the statement, but it's for once I didn't highlight it. That really helps. yeah, there we go. Currently in the process of restoring the online service from the Dark Souls series on PC, and that it plans to restore online service for each game progressively. So Dark Souls 3 servers are apparently going to be the first ones to come back online. And to be fair, that is the one that is still talked about fondly in terms of PvP. But it still seems very minor, doesn't it, the PvP community?
It does, but I think Elden Ring has something. I think people have all moved on, which has worked out quite well for them. So the reason it had to be taken offline was obviously because hacks were put in the game where people would invade your game, and if they like killed you or whatever, or gave you an item, you picked it up, and it would basically like steal your credit card information and shit like that. Like, I think it was something so severe. I think they were being absolutely fucked. So they just went, right, all down. And basically Elden Ring was coming out, so they were like, all hands to the pump. Elden Ring cannot have this problem. So I think they identified the problem and just went, look, it doesn't matter about Dark Souls, it has to, Elden Ring PC has to be preserved. And remember, this doesn't affect any console versions, so if you're playing Dark Souls on the consoles, don't get worried that you're suddenly gonna get like mullered. That's not true.
Details to Sotko, please.
it's only PC. But it is a weird one, though. Like, it just shows that even big companies like Bandai Namco, they haven't got all the resources in the world to just...
Yeah, that's it. They had to prioritize. And obviously something like that is a major issue. And we still had issues with Elden Ring PvP and item trading in particular, didn't they? Because they had people getting auto-banned for an item they were being given. Do you remember that at the beginning, Ben?
Well, I don't remember that, but I know that it's happened in the Souls games.
Yeah, well, this
so
happened.
Somebody would come in, put something in your inventory in the Souls games, and it would actually break your game.
Yeah, that was it, and it was happening at the very beginning with Elden Ring as well. But it seemed to go away very quickly. But I do remember that being a problem back in the day. But the PC issue was remote code execution, wasn't it? That was the problems they were having. That's the hack that can steal pretty much anything off you. And yeah, they obviously had to shut down because Elden Ring is far too big a priority for them. And now, finally, they can bring it back up. But it's still very slow.
Have you heard, and I know this is a slight segue, so you're going to tell me off, but have you heard that co-op mode is there's a mod for co-op mode being released this week for Elden Ring?
I didn't realise it was being released this week, but I had
full co-op. So Souls games notoriously are bad for co-op because you can go into somebody's game and you can co-op with them, but then you don't get the progress in your game. You have to redo it in your world and all this kind of stuff. There's actually a mod that's come in basically where you can play the game with someone else through the whole thing. I think it's up to 4 people even. And there's respawn, so if you die, it'll respawn you, like, just like when the other person's still alive. And I mean, it just sounds fucking brilliant.
Sounds
fucking brilliant.
This is the best thing about mods, but we're not going to segue into mods because that would take too long.
Pete, can I pivot away from this and go to my new story? Yeah, because Microsoft have decided that they're going to pivot away from the Xbox Game Pass streaming box.
That's really poor, what you've done there.
I don't think it was. I thought it was all right. You don't do a fucking segue.
I don't do segues.
I tell you what was poor about that, Kirk, is that segue wasn't related to the other... It was just, You just pivoted, yeah. And then because it had pivot away.
You kind of, yeah, you didn't...
It wasn't really a segue, it was just...
I want to get on with my story. Anyway, so the Xbox Game Pass streaming box is being put on ice for now. So basically, the guys over at Eurogamer have... I say the guys. I put our friends over at Eurogamer like they are actually our friends. They're not. Have reported via their friends at Windows Central that that Microsoft isn't ready to release the device just yet. And they've said that they're putting it back in the oven before re-emerging as a consumer product. So
why are they putting a streaming box in the oven? No, yeah, carry on.
Fucking LP, that was terrible. Anyway, so a Microsoft spokesperson said, as part of a technical journey, any technical journey, we are constantly evaluating our efforts, reviewing our learnings, and ensuring we are bringing value to our customers. We have made the decision to pivot away from the current iteration of the Keystone device. We will take our learnings and refocus our efforts on a new approach that will allow us to deliver Xbox cloud gaming to more players around the world in the future. So basically what this says to me is the device is, I think that personally the device is ready. I just don't think the infrastructure's there. And I think that's what they've probably, that's the roadblock that they've got, because they want to push this thing. But if the thing comes out and it doesn't just work like it's advertised to do, because the infrastructure's not there, normal Joe Bloggs isn't going to fucking care about the technical aspects of it. They just want it to work, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's probably why they've done it. That it will come out in the next year or two, I think, instead. Because you guys, was it Ben? You said, Pete, you especially, you've got great internet, right? Being in London and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That doesn't mean that everybody in the UK has got great internet, and, you know, the whole population isn't just in London. So
I'm going to disagree with you, Kirk, okay, in so much as the Xbox cloud like system and network has obviously been tested, because we can use it now.
Yes.
So I've used it and all that kind of stuff. I don't think this is that it's not ready or the infrastructure's not there. You could be right, absolutely. But I believe that what they would have been doing, maybe it's partly what you're saying, but I think they would have made a box, right? An actual box that you plug in, and it was... And it looked a little bit like the Series X, a smaller Series S, sorry. I reckon they would have had something like that. And now they've gone, no, actually, we don't want that. What we want is something discreet that plugs into, that can plug into any device, into your laptop, into your TV, into anything that's a screen, rather than actually creating a small box, which I think they would have gone like, oh, that's what we should do, a small streaming box, because then people think they bought something tangible. Actually, I think they're pivoting more towards any screen, anytime, like a dongle.
Okay.
Well, I thought the Keystone name kind of suggested it was going to be a dongle to me back in the day.
Yeah, something I've read a few things, and I think that's what's happened. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, this is pure speculation. I love it.
Yeah, it is. But I think that's what's happening.
The thing is, for me, okay, if you're gonna have a device which will play all of your Xbox games like in from the cloud, or any Xbox playable game, in theory, it should work the way that it would work if you played it locally. Yeah. But that's not the reality, especially on fast PvP games, right? So, I'm just going to use Rocket League as an example here. There's absolutely no way you're playing that on this streaming device.
No, bollocks to that.
You know, exactly. So, you've all gone for it before. Like, you can play like your slower games because the latency is like less and all that. But even Hades, I played Hades via the cloud service, and that was too slow. Like,
it's not good enough.
So, I personally think as a technical aspect that it isn't quite there yet, and they can't do anything about that until that infrastructure is built.
Probably. It is. I wonder what's in that actual device, because the technology must make it better in that device rather than just playing off Wi-Fi like normal, surely, because it is weird that I can have amazing internet and it's still not amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't understand what's that limitation.
Joe Bloggs ain't going to care. They're tarnished the brand.
I don't think that's internet speed. I think there's something else at play there, because you can have a gig internet speed, but it doesn't mean that it's seamless and that you can play Forza.
None.
True. So. But anyway, that's my bit.
And it's definitely not the last we're going to hear of it. So at some point in the future, that will become real news. But I did have one other small note I wanted to cover off here, mostly for you, Eddie.
Ooh.
because I thought this is one that's really going to piss Eddie off. And the headline for this is
that your motivation for finding fucking news stories, is it?
I mean, it's a major motivation, yes. It's hilarious when it works. Okay, but no, go on, the headline. Home worker receives written warning for gaming during their lunch break.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So yeah, this actually came up last week, and obviously we didn't have our normal episode last week. We did the Offshore Gamescast episode, so I just saved this for now. And basically, this person had a software called Five9 on their computer. It's a CRM tool. Managers are able to listen in on calls. That's the point. And then they received a written warning for the fact they'd been playing computer games at lunch. And the quote they'd given was, "I'm not in the phone or chat queue, so that tells me that I can just be listened into all the time." This is an interesting one. And it does set off an awful lot of sort of suspicions for me in general, because so many of these places, especially through the pandemic, have been looking to get little bits of software on your computer to monitor calls and things like that. And how do you really know when it's switched off?
When the lid's closed.
Not the computer, Kirk. The software. When do you actually know if it's turned off? That's the only bit, not the laptop. I think we all know when that's switched off, Kirk. I think we are aware of that particular bit. But a lot of people came back to defend the software or say that things that it doesn't record you if you're not on a call or if you'd left it on. But at no point has it been suggested that anything else than they'd actually locked their computer for lunch hour.
And there's so many things wrong with this, isn't there? It's just so many things wrong with this.
Yeah.
And let's get the easy one out of the way. Surely gaming on your lunch break, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Are we all?
Yeah, that's
there?
Number one.
Yeah. That's number one. Outrageous.
Yeah.
For the record, I game every single lunchtime. In fact, do you remember my old job in Brighton, Ben? I used to run home, game for half an hour, and then run back to work.
Yes, you did, yeah.
Because it was either that or socialise with my work colleagues.
Hang on a second. Eddie, you ran?
Yeah.
He moved swiftly.
Yeah, I moved swiftly, yeah. I got a taxi home, and then I...
Of course you did.
and then obviously the other big problem is how... Like, that's not okay if they're, like, listening in all the time. But I guess the argument against it is if you were in work, you would always be technically being watched by your manager. So
but you're in someone's home. That's different.
Yeah. Well, there's another level as well. If you are at work in your unpaid lunch hour, you should still be more than free to play games on your phone or whatever else.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Like...
Yes.
Candy Crush. Lovely.
Yeah,
in fact, just bring your switch in lunch break. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think you could definitely game. There shouldn't be a thing that. But listening in, I mean, this is just all levels of wrong. The company should be outed, and then people would go, "Oh, right, well, we just won't work for them."
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, let's think of it on the levels as well, because it should always be pointed out this wasn't his work computer; it was on his own computer next to it.
Yes, so they're listening. But what I don't get about this story is that they have talked about the software, Five9. It's not the software's problem. It's the fact the abuse of the company. The company has not been outed, right? But the software must be like, what? Why are we being brought into this?
Well,
it's absolutely fine.
The only bit would be is surely the managers shouldn't even have the option to leave it on at all times.
No.
That's why they're coming at the software.
Even if it's in someone's contract somewhere that they could do... I mean, it's just shady. It's all just shady. So
I'm an advocate for privacy and stuff, and just the fact that they can hear if it is on just constantly, and you could be having a personal conversation with your partner in the evening.
You could be having a wank, Kirk. Say what we're all thinking. Just say it.
I wasn't.
That was the route I wanted to go, Eddie. I was trying to bring a bit of class to it.
No,
but yeah, okay.
No, say what you feel. Yes, yeah, you could be having a wank in your
lunch hour. Right. And
exactly.
Obviously, you're not allowed to do that at work, but you can do it at home because it's your own space. But evidently not, because...
Oh, but at work, I don't think you'd be allowed to have a wank. I don't think you can go in the toilets and have a wank, can you?
That's what I just said.
You do realise... Anyway, one of the dating apps, by the way, has actually... said something about bringing in masturbation pods to their office.
Oh, that's
I can't remember which one it was, but one of them did. So in some places...
This is an ugly segue.
If you're new to the show, welcome. We don't just talk about games.
Also, I decided this week to be pretty relaxed with moving things on, which is why I also warned you up front about just do it quickly. And it hasn't worked.
No, it has not worked.
You joined in on that one. I relied on you to move that on.
Led us down the path on that one. That's the way.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
But we should move on to the absolutely stacked new releases section.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. That's me, isn't it? Scrolling. Right. Pete, are all the blue ones? I take it they're last week's, yes?
They are, yes. You've got the colour coding quickly.
No, very clever. Yeah, we got a stacked new release section, but that's only because we've had two. Well, to be fair, both of them are quite busy. So, we've had two good weeks. Because we're so nice, we're going to go through all the ones that came out last week as well. So, Arcade Spirits, the new challengers, coming out on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. It came out on May 27th. Arcade Spirits, the new challenges, is the follow-up to 2019's Arcade Spirits, a visual novel of love and pixels in which you seek friendship and romance while working in an arcade. Now the tables have turned as you seek friendship and romance while playing in an arcade. Why does it say playing in all capitals there?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
To stress the only change in the sentence. Just because it was done for written format, but yeah.
This looks like a decision game, but I don't really know or care because it just looks terrible. You guys seen this?
Yes, I moved on from it very, very swiftly because it looks terrible.
I don't know, I don't know who this appeals to. I'm not saying people can't enjoy this game because there'll be people that love it and visual novel type things, but I wonder who the audience is. That's what I'm just thinking.
That is my exact thought on things like Power Wash Simulator, Ben, until I realised I'm on a podcast with one of them.
Two, you realise.
Exactly.
That
you know that audience. It's that me. Audience. Yeah.
Every great person. Every guy that knows a good game.
Absolutely.
Right. You're also complimenting Ben here, Eddie, so tread that line carefully.
Yeah, I know.
Tread carefully, buddy.
So that's one terrible game down. Next one, Cow the Kangaroo. Is that? Yeah, Cow.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
That's
I would say KO because he's got boxing gloves.
Oh,
that's
Kirk.
A good point, but in Thailand, yes, that would be pronounced cow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, KO. Yeah.
Yeah,
very good.
I think
like that.
K, but then why would you emphasize the A? Anyway, coming out on PC, came out on May 27th on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Inspired by the golden age of 3D platformers. Golden age, my ass. KO the Kangaroo returns in a whole new adventure, embark on an epic journey, master magical gloves, explore lush environments, and take KO through his most grand tale yet. It's funny because it says tail, but he's also got a tail. So this game's like a platformer. It's got good visuals. And I personally don't care. Kirk, you liked It Takes Two, and you like the old platform
This is a Crash Bandicoot kind of rip-off style
it's
thing.
A clone, isn't it?
It literally is a clone. Even the branding is right up the same avenue as it. So
I don't need to call it a rip-off. It looks very good.
Hang on. Am I wrong in saying I'm sure I saw a lot of a kangaroo with boxing gloves when I was a kid?
Yeah, this is a series, I think.
It is,
well.
Yeah? Good. Yeah. I was going to say, I swear I remember that as a kid.
Well, it would be weird if they'd said his most grand tale yet.
You're not thinking of that kangaroo?
Yeah, there were just one or two shitty games. But I remember when a kid, I don't know if
Eddie,
it was like on a... What?
Are you sure you're not on about the kangaroo from Tekken?
No, there was a kangaroo.
Yeah, with boxing gloves.
He was really good as well, wasn't he? He was the second highest boss or something. Fuck me, I'm sure my age.
Yeah, no, I think the series were Game Boy Advance, maybe?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, there you go.
I'm
not keen on it, personally. I don't know.
I thought you might like
what? Because it... For what reason, Kirk?
I don't like the
great visuals. You don't like the great visuals?
I don't like the style of the character, to be honest with you.
Oh, the exact style that you'd like in Crash Bandicoot.
When you say the combat looks a lot better than like Crash Bandicoot and stuff, okay?
I mean, Crash Bandicoot's got his own little style. This is just, I don't know. It's not for me. No.
Okay.
All right.
I think it looks great. If you like platformers, I think this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also reviewed very well.
Is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Microsoft Flight Simulator Top Gun Maverick DLC, obviously off the back of the success of the film. Coming out May 27th, PC, Xboxes, well, Xbox Series X says. It's a DLC. It's got new skins. It's actually got quite a few missions, but I think it's got like 3 new missions and also like a mission where you have to land on a thing. Aircraft carrier, that's what I'm looking for.
There's challenges, isn't there, that you can do? That
yes,
kind of
that's right. Yeah. You know what? I do like this because I don't like that Microsoft Flight Simulator sounds very much like a simulator. Yes. So.
Yeah, do you reckon anyone's loading up my Flight Simulator every day and like, oh, got to do my dailies, got to fucking...
I reckon there's someone out there. There's probably the same people.
Like, yeah, people who want to fly.
I was going to say, the same kind of people that do simulator games, like, you know, mowing.
Yes.
Or power washing.
Yeah. Power washing. Yeah. Mowing.
Mm. How do we come back to that game?
Honestly, it's hard to avoid.
Great game.
Simulator.
Yeah. All right, brilliant. Next one, Moolander. Finally, a good game. It came out May 27th, PC, PlayStation, Xboxes. Moolander is a 2D action-adventure RPG with Metroidvania elements featuring an epic plot, mighty cow bosses, beautiful environments, clever puzzles, and lots of milk. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's like a 2D, like, really... I don't know if you can call it RPG, Jesus. But the visuals look okay, and I like the music.
Do you think this kind of gives, like, poor man Ori vibes?
Yes.
Yeah. And also,
is it the colours? Is that what you're going by the colours?
Yeah, the colours, like? the style. Yeah, it's absolutely. It's got depth to it. It looks kind of hand-drawn as well. What I find funny is... the name of the game, Moolander, and then what I'm seeing here is some sort of cow trying to destroy a spaceship. The concept just sounds outlandish.
Honestly, the problem for me is the name relates to Zoolander in my head, and then I assume he's trying to launch a modelling career, and it just doesn't look quite right. So, yeah,
it looks quite good though. It looks quite good.
Does it, Ben?
Kurt, what are you having a go at? You're having a go at all the games that look like the games that you usually like.
That's
a good point, actually.
What's up, Kurt?
I'm thinking about all the framing he could be doing now.
Yeah, I like to do old games. I like to do old games, so I'm trying to push people to older
games. This game comes
out,
you should be asking, has it got a physical copy? Can I make a little background for this?
would you want that cow treading on your spaceship as a background? I digress. Go on, what's next?
I'm so putting an order in for Moolander now. So doing that. Right, next one. Pac-Man Museum Plus. Came out May 27th. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. Pac-Man Museum Plus includes 14 titles from the legendary Pac-Man series. Play a variety of classic and nostalgic Pac-Man games across many genres. You can tell I didn't read that blurb because my first note is there's 14 games. So, yeah, there you go. And on top of that, you can customise your arcade, which, you know what? I was going to rip the shit out of this game because who the fuck wants to play Pac-Man games? But that little customising of your arcade looks pretty cool.
It's technically a base build, isn't it, Eddie?
Yes, it is, Kirk, you naughty little minx.
First question on this. Isn't every Pac-Man game the same game?
Evidently not.
I did have to look into that, and yes, there are silly little... They're all like...
Minor tweaks, surely.
Yes, yeah.
The latest Pac-Man game is just the one with all the other features. Like, surely they supersede each other, Pac-Man. they're not like, I'll play Pac-Man 2 this time. Oh no, 7's the best.
Hey Ben, what's your problem with Pac-Man, buddy? What's your problem?
No, I'm just saying it's pretty Pac-Man's Pac-Man, isn't it?
No, there are different kind of games, Ben. There are different kind of games. Yeah.
Okay. Many genres, it says, across many genres. Isn't Pac-Man a genre in itself? Ooh, okay. There
we go. We're asking the big questions.
Good game. Good game.
All right, next one. Remote Life, coming PC, Xboxes, PlayStations, and Switch and whatnot. May 27th. Remote Life is a 2D side-scrolling space shooter. Shmup. What the fuck is that? What? Was that one of you that put that in there?
No, I don't think so. I think that's literally
in there.
What is that? Yeah. Is that the sound of like a gun or something?
I don't know what shmup is.
For our listeners, S-H-M-U-P.
Shmup.
Shmup.
Side-scrolling
and it's straight
space
after
shooter.
Space shooter, so I assume that's the sound of the gun?
It's in brackets, so it's really important.
Shmup. Fuck me. For PC, experience a fast-paced action game with insane, scary graphics. Okay. And hyper jump into a brutal, frenetic, techno-alien world. Free the world... proper farmer now. From this dreadful nightmare before its nauseating breath of horror destroys mankind. This is proper 80s arcade game. But, you know what's funny? Like, you know when I normally rip into these? They've kind of updated the visuals with this one. So, I'm not going to hate on them. For our listeners, it's like all those games where you fly through and it scrolls along with it. But this one, like the visuals, they've kind of updated them, so it actually looks quite modern. Do you guys think I'm giving it too much credit? Or
that looks all right.
Yeah.
I won't play it.
I think you're giving it more credit than I thought you would.
Yeah. Also, guys, I hate to say it, but shmup is just shoot 'em up.
Oh, okay. Oh, so
yeah.
Is that short for shoot 'em up? Oh, okay.
Yeah, shoot 'em up, yeah.
Shmup.
Yeah.
Shmup.
You got people out there going, they don't know what shmup is. What
shmup.
Is
shmup? Those
these guys do a
shmup.
Fucking gaming
these
podcast.
Those
noobs.
Dickos
noobs.
What
noob noobs?
Fuck you, grumpy gamers.
Shmups know nothing.
Unsubscribed.
Those fucking shmups.
Do you guys not interested? It's just another. There's a lot of these arcade games coming, aren't there?
No.
Fuck
it. It seems like there's. Yeah, go on, Pete. Go on.
I was going to say, I think it's because of the availability of things to make them now. So, just games in general. Look at Roblox, obviously. It's the biggest example. But I think there's actually a shoot-em-up creator on Steam that allows you to make them.
A shmup.
A shmup creator. A shmup
Thanks,
creator.
Shmup.
Yeah. Which I actually thought was called shoot-em-up creator. So if it is called shmup, I wouldn't be surprised. yeah. So I think it's that availability means more people are taking the chance to make games. I think it's why we see more one- or two-person studios as well now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just amazing how similar they are to games we played like 20 years ago. But yeah.
All right, cool. Next one, Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy, came out on PC May 27th. Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy is a challenging roguelite RPG with a tabletop feel, a noble-based open world, and a cool twist on permadeath. The visuals look really cool. I really like the visuals. The gameplay looks solid as well. It has a legacy system. It has different options, like when you die. And overall, this game really, really looks good. This is definitely the best one of that week, that last week's releases. But what do you guys think?
I agree. Yeah, looks really, really good. And it's the second, so there's been a previous game,
God,
so it must
you're
be pretty
all about
good.
That, aren't you?
He does love a sequel. No, this one I think is by far and away the standout of last week's.
Yeah. It looks really good gameplay wise from what I saw. Yeah.
Don't you just think like when you just watching gameplay of this game, it looks like a very good game. It just looks like it's well made. It's almost like someone knows what they're doing.
It's the same that I've had when you first saw Hades or you first saw Curse of the Dead Gods or something like that, and you're like, good game.
Yes.
I can tell.
You just tell.
Good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree, and I would probably play this. Right, moving on to this week's releases. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Last week there's also Sniper Elite 5, which we didn't mention for some reason. Don't know why that's not
on
the list.
We mentioned that the week before, Ben.
Yeah, we mentioned it the week before.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, because it came out on Game Pass, didn't it?
Yeah,
and I was saying how excited I was, but then I saw a Worth a Buy's review and did not do well.
Not too good.
It's a shame because I do want to play it, but yes, all my fears of that game is all rolled up into that one review, which means I'm never going to play it.
Is it not on Game Pass?
It is.
It is. Yeah.
Even free is too much for that one.
Yes.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's too expensive for me. I apologize. Okay. Next one, Insomnis. Enhanced Edition, coming out on PlayStation 5, May 31st. Insomnis, that's such a horrible word, is a first-person horror game focused on story, exploration, and solving puzzles to advance through a terrifying atmosphere. Players take control of Joe Castavet. I'm going to call them that, who will have to deal with a mysterious inheritance he has just received, and in the process discover all the secrets of the Castavet Mansion.
Ooh.
That was more sexual than scary, Kirk, but I like it. It looks fine. It doesn't look like it adds anything to the genre, but maybe I'm being harsh because I don't give a shit about horror games. Kirk, I'm going to come to you with this one. Does this interest you? You like a good horror game now?
I do like a good horror game. I mean, it looks creepy. But I haven't seen it in motion, so I can't really comment. I'm only going based off of screenshots here, but you know, could be worth a look. I am looking at that. I can't remember what that game was that you kind of did a review on, Ben, that was kind of Resident Evil kind of
Tormented Souls.
Yeah, so I'm looking
that's
for
up your street.
My next
that's up your street.
Yeah, like my next kind of nice good horror game that I will actually scare the shit out of me, and
that's
that,
a good game. That's yeah, a good game.
I know that obviously Resi clone, but something like this could be more psychological, and I find the psychological stuff is generally sketchier.
Yeah, yeah. You know? The one thing about this game is that this is called the Enhanced Edition. The one thing that I thought when I was watching footage of the Enhanced Edition was, God, this needs enhancing. It's like, it doesn't. I don't think it looks very good.
Yeah, there was that Visage game. I think that's how you say it, the name.
That's supposed to be very scary. It's also on Game Pass.
I played that, and that shit me up a bit. But it's very, very hard. You have no direction on that game whatsoever. But it was an enhanced version that you play on that one as well. So obviously it came out on the older systems first. But you're right with this one. It needs something else. So
it's just weird. I wouldn't call it the enhanced edition. I'd call it something else.
This came out on the PS3. So
see, the big question this one leaves me is, I really hope that the inheritance is a mysterious item. Because if someone with the surname Castavet is like finds it mysterious they've inherited when they're in a place called Castavet Mansion, it seems a bit weird. You know what I mean? Like, surely you're expecting something.
If you're not linking those dots, then
The house
maybe
is named
mysterious because the person
like
hasn't actually died yet. Maybe that's why.
That's serious mystery.
Serious mystery. All right, next one. The Last Taxi, coming out on PC VR, May 31st.
PC VR.
Guess what it says.
VR.
Yeah, it'd be like Oculus or something like that, wouldn't
it? Conversations at the end of the world. You are the last human taxi driver in a desperate future where the last remains of civilization are propped up by surveillance, automation, and human modification. The hours are long and the pay is terrible. But hey, at least you have a job. Nice. It's a VR game, so I'm gonna say that before I say this next comment. The visuals look awful.
They do.
Like, proper awful. I'm talking like PlayStation 1.
You can't tell, though. You can't tell when...
Yes, I know, Ben, and that's why I said the VR, because you can never tell. But like, when you're talking to people, the people that you are talking to just look... Holy shit.
Screenshots will not do it justice, though. It's just, yeah.
Ben, you got to remember, I've done VR before, and I do know a thing or two about playing games, but this is not a good-looking VR game. It should be further along than here.
Did you have a PSVR?
No, but a friend of mine did, and I played it quite a bit.
Oh, your friend had one. Okay,
yes, it wasn't you.
Okay. Your friend had a PSVR. Okay,
Ben really, Ben really wants to shout football friend right now, but he's not going.
Exactly.
It's the friend you're talking about, Ben, Kirk, because that doesn't count.
No, actually, but his name is Ben. His name is actually
right.
Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell, how many lies? How many lies?
Lies on Ben,
yes.
So many lies.
Honestly, though, the key thing here is when you
wait,
go into...
lies upon lies? What are you talking about?
No, but seriously, the key thing here, this is you're going into virtual reality and the choice you make is to be a taxi driver.
I thought the same thing, Pete. Like,
see, if
and it says the hours are long and you're like, fucking hell, that's not a big advert,
is
it?
The hours are long and the pay is terrible. This is like that game the other week that looked great, but it's like, in this, you can play out the simulation of having two jobs.
Whoever wrote this blurb, it's like saying that the hours are long and the pay is terrible. That just says like, okay, so this is, it feels like a chore and there's no payoff from this game. Like, it's just terrible.
Why it's just like in real life.
Yeah, escape the humdrum monopoly. Monotony. That's the word that was confusing me. Monotony of your day-to-day work life by going and doing a worse job.
Yeah.
That's what they're offering here with this game.
In a lovely VR package.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it looks all right.
We are very different on this
one,
terrible. But okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really bad. Next one, Samurai Riot Definitive Edition, coming out on PC and Switch June 1st. Samurai Riot is a 2D arcade-style beat-em-up game with a unique co-op system. Make deep moral choices throughout the branching storyline with high replay value. The visuals, music, and atmosphere are all quite good, but it's still just a 2D kind of fighty game that you'd expect. But at least they've done a good job on the old visuals and sound.
What's the co-op feature? The unique selling point of it?
That there's two of you? I don't know.
Well, there's like Streets of Rage is co-op on there, but there's nothing unique about it. I just want to know what the selling point of this one is. But I think it looks good.
We haven't done that level of research.
The co-op system evaluates and rewards you based on how well you are working together. Coordinate your attacks with your partner and fill up the central gauge to unleash the most powerful attack in Samurai Riot, the co-op special move.
I'm assuming you meant gauge, not gauge, but yeah.
He did, yes.
Okay, fair enough. I'm guessing like if you do good combos together and one of you doesn't get hit, then that's kind of co-op.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've got a bar that you build up and then you do one big attack. Yeah.
It does. You're right, Eddie. It does sound like there's a bar you've got to build up.
A gauge. Gorging gauge.
Brilliant. What? Thanks, guys. Yep. next one. Silt, coming on PC, PlayStation, Xboxes, and Switch, June 1st. Dive into Silt's harrowing ocean abyss and unravel long-forgotten mysteries. Explore the dangerous waters, possess sea creatures, and solve puzzles to travel deeper into the darkness. It's a puzzle game with kind of... I've put Echo mechanics. If you know Echo from Sega Mega Drive...
Yeah, Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We saw this somewhere, and we all agreed that it looks really good. But I'm going to ask you the same question, because you three all played... what is it? Trek to Yomi. And all of us said it looked really good before, and all of you didn't like that game. So what do you think of this game? Do you still think this looks really good?
Yes.
Oh, fine. Right.
Yeah, we saw it at the Nintendo Direct, I think it was the Nintendo Direct. To me, it seems like got inside vibes, but just in the water. And... I think it should be quite good. Very atmospheric from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Massively so. And it's got a lot of that Hollow Knight atmosphere going on as well. So, I'm definitely down for it still.
Stylized, definitely. And I do like the look of it. But I don't know. I don't think I picked up on this before. But the name of it, it doesn't. I don't like the name. I don't know why. And then you got the big fish with the teeth and stuff. It's
remarkably memorable, though, because when I saw this on the list, I remembered the game.
Yeah immediately. And I think it's because you're diving to the bottom of the ocean, Kirk, where there is a lot of silt.
I get that. I don't know. I think it's the combination of the black and white visuals and the way the character looks as well. It's kind of like Slender Man looking in a way.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. Just a combination of all these things just makes it a bit eerie for me. That's all.
But you are right, Eddie. After the extreme disappointment of Trek to Yomi, we need to be careful.
Yes, definitely. Go in with tempered expectations on this one.
Yes.
I don't think they're at all similar, guys.
They're the exact same game.
I just wanted to say Trek to Yomi was extremely disappointing.
Trek to Yomi was fine. I didn't enjoy the gameplay, but a lot of the rest was good.
Ben does this. Ben, like if you listen back a couple episodes... The first time Ben talked about it, he was like, it's okay. And I knew the way he said okay, I know that in 4 weeks' time, he is going to be worst game of all time. Garbage.
It's garbage.
It's gone. There you go. He's already there. Garbage.
He's reached that point. Yeah,
this time next year, he'll be on the street campaigning against this.
Don't play Trek to Yomi. No more Yomi. No more trekking.
Wow, that was poor. That was really, really poor. Next one, Diablo Immortal, coming out on PC, June 2nd. Battle against ancient evils and discover the untold story between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 in this all-new, massively multiplayer online action RPG. That's a lot of words. Built for mobile and now also coming to open beta on PC. I'm disappointed that it says it's built for mobile, but I guess looking at clips and gameplay, it looks okay. Ben and Pete, are you interested? Because I know that you've played previous ones, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah, 100%. I will be playing this, yeah. I think I'll be playing on PC. It's got controller support, so I will probably be playing on PC, yeah. I'm hoping that it has crossplay to your mobile, yeah.
Could you use a controller on the mobile for this, do you reckon?
You can, yeah, you can. Yeah,
okay. I don't know how that would work, though, Ben. How would that work if it...
So in Diablo, from Diablo 3, they had a really well-implemented wheel system.
Yes.
Right. And it was fantastic. It really, really worked on a controller really well. Diablo 2 is it's more fiddly with the controller. But I think they're just going to take a lot of the good stuff from Diablo 3 and it's going to have the gotcha mechanics and it's going to get annoying, I'm sure. But if maybe it's one of those games that you might be able to power through without spending money, we'll have to see.
I'm definitely a wait and see on this one, it must be said. I want to see a bit more about it before I go anywhere.
The thing is, I want Diablo 4, so...
Oh, yeah, of course. You're overcommitted, so you need something to...
So I need something in the meantime, yeah.
Is Diablo games the ones you and Pete always ask me to play?
Yeah, I think you'd love Diablo 3. Diablo 3 would be superb for you. I think you'd absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right, next one. Oh, fuck me. Gigapocalypse. That's right, isn't it? Gigapocalypse.
Gigapocalypse.
Got it. Guy, fuck off, Kirk. Coming out on PlayStation's, Xbox's, Switch, June 2nd. Become a customizable giant monster with manifold skills in Gigapocalypse, inspired by classic kaiju movies such as Godzilla and King Kong and the game classic Rampage. It came out on PC in November 2021. It's another 2D fighting game. It looks fucking awful, and I know Pete's going to say I shouldn't say that because of kaiju, but my God, this looks fucking awful.
No, I completely agree. I think this is the worst game of the entire 2 weeks.
This is strong.
That includes Moolander and those that came before it.
No, Moolander was good.
Yeah, that looks amazing. Yeah.
Come on, Pete.
Shut up.
But yeah, move on from this, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Shit. All right, sorry, guys. Next one, Empire, Dukes of the Fan Frontier, coming out on PC June 3rd.
Far Frontier.
Sorry, it's because I was scrolling. Have you noticed I was scrolling down? That's why I paused as well. I was like, shit. I was trying to read it on the go. What did I say?
Fan Frontier.
I prefer mine. Set in a neo-Victorian Wild West, the Archduke welcomes you to the utopian city of Bliss, a city built by steam-powered automatrons. The promise of a carefree life awaits. Or does it? Claw your way through the dark secrets lying under the surface in this isometric alternate history RPG adventure. This to me looks like a bad futuristic Baldur's Gate.
Fair.
I think the visuals look really, like, the world looks okay, but like zooming into the people and stuff, I really think it's quite unforgivable that the visuals look that bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a weird one because, I mean, even their blurb there doesn't really make any decisions. Neo-Victorian Wild West, but it's an alternate history. And like, there's a weird mishmash of things going on here. I'm sure it's some kind of punk, but I don't think it fits any of the ones I know of.
Neo-punk.
Neo-punk. Future Victorian punk, is that...
You guys fucking went on about all kinds of punk last week, okay? Don't do that again. Don't. Okay? But there's enough.
There are a lot of punks, man.
There are a lot of punks. But it's this is a weird looking game and not in a great way. I mean, if the reviews are good, I might have a look. But until then, can't see much recommending.
Yeah.
Did someone just click?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal with it. next... And last one, and best one, Spellforce 3 Reforged, coming out PlayStation's, Xbox's June 7th, Soul Harvest DLC, Fallen God DLC, and Complete Edition. Spellforce 3, the perfect blend between RTS and RPG. This came out on PC December 2017. It looks great. It has party-based mechanics. It has, like, raid an army. You have base building. The visuals look great. The pretty much this game looks amazing. I'll be honest, because it's the last game on the whole list, I started to do actual research, as in I want to play this game, and I've already typed it in, and I've already watched a few videos, so I assume something has turned me off to this game. But honestly, looking at it firsthand, it looks fantastic.
It's an interesting I thought you and Pete would know about this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Do you know about it, Pete?
Yeah, I know the name. I've literally never given it the time of day. It looks sort of like halfway between what you'd think Heroes of Might and Magic were doing now and Age of Empires.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's a good place to start, but I don't know. There's something that puts me off about it.
Yes. Pete, I tell you what, there have been two previous Spellforce games.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Not all of us like that, Ben.
Okay, I'm just
saying.
Sometimes
you don't need a sequel, okay?
Good franchise, that's what I'm saying. Big time. It looks really good, though. Graphically, it looks really good as well. Yep. I'm interested to... I would have liked... If you had played it, Pete, you could tell us whether you think it could be ported over to console, because this is obviously a console port of it, isn't it? So, that would be interesting. I mean, if this type of thing came to Game Pass, that would be something I'm sure would be right up your fucking street.
Oh, God, yeah. If it's completely free, I'll give it a go, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I'm after this podcast, I'm going to watch a few videos on this, and I think I'm going to buy... Between this and another game that Pete suggested to me yesterday, I think I'm going to buy one of these two. So.
But I like the fact that it says it incorporates RPG mechanics as well. Like, that sounds excellent. So,
yeah.
Looks good. Is that your pick of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. In fact, the last game of each week, because I did like Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy. That looks quite cool. But this one is definitely my pick. Especially as I'm probably going to buy it in about an hour's time. So,
lovely.
And that's them new releases.
Yes, okay. Indeed. Thank you very much. So that takes us on to what we've been playing. And I actually think, Eddie, you've been playing the most interesting one this week, so we'll save you for last. And we know, Kirk, you haven't really been playing anything, have you?
No, as I explained at the beginning, I've kind of been a bit busy.
You said it's such an accusation.
I know. It's like, why am I such a negative thing?
Doing anything?
No, I have not played anything. I mean, I've had the odd game of Rocket League every now and then, but that's about it. I've not really had time to invest into something a bit more serious. So that's, Soz Boys.
You haven't been
on the podcast in 4 months, have you? You just haven't played anything, Jesus.
Wait, Ben, he only started 4 months ago. He can't have been on the podcast, off the podcast that long.
Definitely
started well over 6 months ago, but okay.
But it must be said, Ben, it doesn't look like you've played particularly much either.
No, I'm saying that. I haven't played a lot. But what I have played I played the Mario Strikers demo.
Okay.
If you're aware, Mario Strikers Battle League comes out on the 10th of June, and there is a demo that is now downloadable on the Switch. You can do the training, and next weekend you can play online. I think it's the 4th and the 5th of June. And I was doing the training for this, and I think this is looking like it's going to be really, really good. It's a hell of a lot more complex than I thought it was. That I thought it would be. I was doing the training, and every, you know, when you do a game like this, you're like, well, yeah, I'd probably be able to just play it and it'll be fine. Like, I'll work it out. Actually, the moves that you can do, hell of a lot more complex than I thought. And everything's timing, and and it looks really, really good. Like, so much going on. It actually was a good selling point. Now, what's interesting is that next weekend you can play it online, and I think this is quite a savvy move, because Nintendo sports games, I've complained in recent weeks about Switch sports and just having no fucking online modes whatsoever. And I think that's a continual problem with the Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, and stuff like that. Like, it's just a bit boring beyond the main game. Like, the main game, and that can only hold you for so long. They don't have all these different modes, but I think with this one, they are going to do a hell of a lot more online with, like, the ranking system and the league system and cups and all that kind of stuff. And with that, I just think there's so much more to it. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to this game. It looks really responsive. It's really cool. It's fun. Yeah, I cannot wait for this. It's actually, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, like, when is the next big game that releasing that I want to buy? Like, that would require a full price kind of payout. But Mario Strikers is probably the one for me. It's and the animation. Like, these guys that are doing this game are the same people that did Luigi's Mansion 3, and that is the best-looking game on the Switch. Like, hands down, the best-looking game. They are doing the animation for Mario Strikers, and you can fucking tell. It's absolutely brilliant. It looks wonderful. So, yeah, I'm really up for this game. Cannot wait for it, and the demo hasn't put me off one bit.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I am interested in it. It's just going to be very unlikely I get a chance to play it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing that I could, when I do come up, I'll, you know, we could play it. Good because chance. It'd just be fun. It would just be, it's just a fun game that you could definitely play as a party. Like,
what's the, what's the potential for drinking bin?
Well, yeah. I think there'd be a hell of a lot. And also, what I'd like about this, I think there'd be a hell of a lot of drinking potential with it, but also the skill ceiling on this. It genuinely looks like there is an actual skill ceiling that I reckon some people will just get insane at this game. So, and oftentimes, especially with this type of game, you wouldn't imagine that the case. But there are, like, in the training when I was doing it, there are a couple of things where I'd be like, I'm never going to use that. That's probably too much for me. Like, I'm probably just never going to use that in an actual game. But yeah, it's looking really, really good. I'm really excited for it now.
Okay, cool. Well, it's weird going this late in the what we've been playing section, guys. Normally I go really early because it's very little. It's odd. But I've been playing Citizen Sleeper, which is, well, it was released this month. It's a new game.
It's a relatively new game.
Yeah, it's only like, Ben, not everyone buys them within a day, all right? Come on. 3 weeks is fine. 3 weeks is close for me. So this came out on May the 5th, and it's from a developer called Jump Over the Edge. It's a narrative-driven RPG.
Right, is that the name?
Yeah,
just brushed past that.
Yeah, that just moved past that.
No wonder you fucking like it.
Oh, so many segues today. Anyway, let's not go into that. No, so this is a narrative-driven RPG. It's basically like a tabletop RPG set in Erlin's Eye, which is the ruined space station filled with the waifs and strays of the galaxy, essentially. That's the idea. It reminds me most of all of, do you remember when you were a kid and you had those choose your own adventure books? Does anyone remember them?
Yep. Oh yeah.
It's like that. That's what this is. And in many ways that also makes it very similar to Disco Elysium, which is the game it is most similar to in look, style and everything else. But the fundamental difference is the lack of voice acting in this one. And that is very noticeable from the beginning, which is why I say it's more like a pick-your-own-adventure book. Because if you want to get into it, you're going to be reading a lot. That's, lay that out really early. But otherwise, you do basically get to live like you're in Blade Runner. You're a replicant on the run. That's the point. And it does a really good job. This is an odd thing to compliment, but it does a really good job of making you live a real routine. Like every other RPG you play in, when do you eat or sleep? When you literally have no other choice to do so, or downing cheese wheels to get health back in a boss fight. Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this one, it gives you valid reasons to do so. You actively get worse at the game if you allow your condition to drop or if you allow your energy to drop. You get to make less dice rolls in a day, do less things, basically. Everything you choose to do is controlled by one of, I think you get 5 dice rolls if you're at full health, and that drops over time. Yeah. Every single one of them allows you to do one thing in that cycle or day. So, yeah, you can imagine that if you don't eat and sleep and thus allow yourself to weaken dramatically, you get less and less and you can do less and less. And
yeah.
That worked pretty well. I liked that. It's odd that quite a lot of the things in it are just doing a job. Like you can do a shift behind a bar That's one of the options. You can make noodles for people. That's another one. but that's why you've got the ones and twos on your dice rolls, and then you use the other ones for more interesting things. But otherwise, it's actually been quite entertaining. I've probably played about 4 or 5 hours of it in total. Mm-hmm. I had, when I first wrote my notes, done much less than that, and it wasn't holding me. But actually, having played it for a bit longer, it did. The caveat to that being that if you haven't got enough time to sit down and engage with what's written there, and it is written really well, and it is really engaging when you do, it's going to be a tricky one for people. That's the balance.
Pete, my headphones cut out when you said about the voice acting earlier, and because I was going to ask you then, because I've played a bit of this game as well, but as is well documented, I'm not a reader. And Disco Elysium, their full voice acting on the director's cut is just magnificent.
Yeah, and that's like a difference maker.
If this had the Disco Elysium treatment, it'd be something completely different. Which, and it's weird because the initial trailer for this game, way back when, has voice acted characters.
Yes, yeah, it does.
But the writing, as you say, excellent. Stella, and it does really, kind really of... But the problem with that is that you have to be fully on this game, when actually it's the type of game where you can actually be watching TV at the same time, or you know, doing something else, because it's that kind of, it has text on the screen, you click through, you can make decisions, and you don't actually have to physically be moving a character.
Yeah.
But they've really missed a trick with at least having partial voice acting, I think.
I would very much agree. I think even if you only had it for some key characters, it would make a ridiculous amount of difference.
I wouldn't be surprised if it got the Disco Elysium treatment, and they did, having now earned a bit of money off the game, do that to it as a DLC.
And honestly, that would probably change this quite completely, because as it is, it's hard to stick with, because if you're doing absolutely anything else, the writing becomes annoying. And if you're not, you cannot look at anything else while you do it. The only way to get 100% out of this game is to fully immerse yourself in it.
Because the characters are interesting as well.
Yeah.
flowing in emotion juice. But the characters are really interesting.
They
look cool and well animated as well. Even though you're not moving, they're just on the screen as like pictures. And it looks really, really good.
Exactly. And I mean, I did have a slight issue as well with the way you're moving around the world. Erlin's Eye is a really interesting thing, but the fact that you're literally hovering isometric view over it and then select certain areas to go
to. It's quite hard, don't you think? It's because you have to like move up and down the ship and then select when you're in that area. It was hard to actually get the right thing sometimes.
It was, and there's a lot going on. So quite often you can miss things that would have been incredibly useful that you clearly should have gone to, but because there's like 6 icons close together, you just skipped one. So things like that are a little bit frustrating with it. But I do think the big, big thing holding it back is the voice acting. Like, other than that, it's a beautiful, very different Choose Your Own Adventure book. I will say the only other negative, by the way, and it shares this with Disco Elysium, is while the music does not take away from it, it's all very forgettable. Like, completely.
Right, okay.
They're just background tracks. There's nothing, you know, it's not like Skyrim or quite a few of the other RPGs where the music makes it. It's just kind of, it's fine, but you're not going to look up any of them.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where I'd say it's worth playing if this is your type of thing. And otherwise, it's probably not for everyone.
It's relatively cheap, even not on Xbox. I think it's between £12 and £15 or something on like Switch and what have you.
Yes, indeed. So that's Citizen Sleeper. And that brings us on to you, Eddie.
Lovely. I have been playing, among other things, of course, Jurassic World Evolution 2. It's on Game Pass, so, I mean, that was my last note, so I've just spoiled that one. Spoilers. The developers, Frontier Developments PLC, it came out in November 2021. There was a Jurassic World Evolution 1 as well. Who would have thought that? I've been just been doing the campaign.
Must be good.
Just been doing the campaign. For those of you who don't know this game, it is what would you call it? I guess a park builder, like the old
theme what? Park.
Roller Coaster Tycoon. That's
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, or theme park or theme hospital
theme
type game.
Theme park, yeah, theme hospital. It's all about building your dinosaur park. I've been doing the campaign, and I'm not going to lie, I was kind of playing this because I've heard it's really good from some people who, from very creditable sources. So I thought, oh, go on then, I'll give it a try. It's free anyway, so... And I logged on, did the campaign, and then within 2 minutes, I was not interested. I didn't give a fuck. But then straight away, I was like, I'll take control of this Jeep. And I was like, surely not. This is like a park builder. And then I get put into this Jeep. There's like country music playing, and it goes, oh, do you want to quickly zoom out? And I zoom to the back, and I have to like take photos of dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs are attacking the car. And I'm like, fuck me. Okay, this is pretty cool. And then the next mission, I had to get in a helicopter and shoot some dinosaurs with some tranquilizer darts. And honestly, there are so many things to this game that made me go, okay, actually, this is a fucking good game. The visuals, for a start, holy shit, they're absolutely stunning. Not only in the... I mean, I've got it on Uber Graphics, that probably fucking doesn't help. But they look amazing. But then when you can go in first-person mode and you can walk around, don't get me wrong, you can still take control of any of your vehicles... But it's so awe-inspiring. Like, once I had a dinosaur that was escaping, and I just driving to that where that dinosaur was to shoot him, I went past these huge dinosaurs, like, attacking each other. And it was really quite impressive.
Even does it give you a grand, like, does it give you, like, a grandness of scale when you're
yes,
going around?
Yes, exactly. Honestly, yeah. Kirk, like, when I was literally just... All I was driving past the big dinosaurs. I mean, they've got so many fucking dinosaurs in this, but I'm just going to say the big ones. And honestly, it was really one of those moments where I was like, whoa, that's cool. Even though it was just in my peripherals, because I was so focused on getting to shoot this thing before he kills loads of people. Mm-hmm. It was just... Oh, it's awe-inspiring. It really, really was. So impressive. Yeah, so the visuals are incredible. Everyone's voice acted so far in my campaign. The only noticeable one, it's so well done, apart from Chris Pratt isn't Chris Pratt. Do you know what I mean? That character.
Yeah.
And it's so noticeable. Like, everyone else sounds exactly... I don't know if they are the actors. I assume they are the actors because they sound so similar. But then the Chris Pratt character is so bad. It's like, hiya, how's it going? Is that, that's not Chris Pratt, but that's fine, I guess. Yeah. Overall, so far, so good. Like, I'm very, very impressed by how good this game is. I can see why some people would love this game. I assume that when I'm done with the campaign, because I think I'm on, like, world, like, 5 or whatever, there is a sandbox bone, so I'm kind of reserving my overall feelings until then, because that's where these games kind of, you know, the campaigns really are more like tutorials these days for these kind of games. So I'm going to play, complete the campaign, because I am really enjoying the campaign. Then I'm going to get on sandbox mode, and I assume there'll be, because they haven't really focused on money right now, but that's where I love these games. I like to earn money and I like to do well, so...
Eddie, sorry, just to interject there, mate. I've just looked up the whole cast side of it, and you're right. Everybody is themselves from the movies, except for Chris Pratt, who was done by someone called AJ Lucascio.
Right. Yeah, no, so, I had a feeling, because they all kind of sound similar, and then fucking Chris Pratt's like, hiya. So what the fuck is that? That is not a handsome man that I want to envisage. But really good. Really enjoying it. It's on Game Pass. If you like, you're kind of building your park kind of games, then I really highly recommend this game.
And you're playing on PC, aren't you, Eddie?
I'm playing on PC with Kai graphics, but I suspect if you got any sort of... Oh, yeah, because it's on Xbox Game Pass
as well.
Yeah, it is. And I know it translates there because people do play it on Xbox. I imagine it's better on PC because you can control things a bit easier. But
I've always played strategy games on PC, so I think I'm always going to be biased. But, like, what was that one? There is a game that I tried playing with a controller, and it's just too fiddly for me. I like with a mouse, you can literally go from one menu to the next really easily. So, but I don't know, if people these days play strategy games on consoles, then this is a game that you can do it too.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so are you going to play more of it next week?
You know what, Pete, I really want to, but There's that game that we just talked about in the new releases. Already forgotten it. That's a good sign. Spellforce 3. Yeah. And there's that other game that you recommended to me yesterday, and I've already watched like 3 videos and done a bit of research with it, and that's really appealing to me. That game is called... I don't know. I've forgotten it.
I've forgotten the name as well, and it's on my phone, which I'm not allowed to get because Ben will tell me.
Yeah, it's on my laptop, but I can't open it up because Ben has a heart attack. So,
yeah, no phones, guys, no phones. No,
but
yeah.
I'm actually pretty sure that game only came out last week, so it would have been relevant as well. But still,
it's a shame. It's a roaring shame.
Yeah, it's a weird name as well, so it's not even one of those that you can like
something like that. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to tell. It's something for the audience to tune into. Next week.
Brilliant.
You'll find out next week.
Yes, because I will definitely have played that as I bought it yesterday and I've already forgotten the name. Isn't that good? So that does bring us on to our feature, which this week is, well, it's about a lost cause, one in particular, but I know we're going to mention a few others.
Not me.
By that, I mean, what was that?
Not me.
Kirk. No. It's nice. Kirk, not this time, not about you. You are a lost cause.
Thank God for that.
Not till the winter.
Oh, you have to remember.
But no, this one is Star Wars 1313. That's where I wanted to start it with anyway. So are we all familiar with the game?
We're familiar with it, but go for the history of this game.
Clearly, we're not at all as familiar with it as we should be, Kirk. Yeah. Thank you.
It's an interesting one.
Yes, indeed. So this obviously is a Star Wars game in which the player would have started out by taking on the role of an unidentified bounty hunter. You'd go through the beginning of the game, and then you would immediately be murdered by a mysterious figure, subsequently being revealed to be Boba Fett. That's then the playable character for the rest of the game, and you find yourself navigating Coruscant's underworld metropolis known as Level 1313, hence the name. And obviously throughout this you get things like various exotic weaponry that you get to use, and many of them I think are similar to what we're now seeing in The Mandalorian, by the way, the TV show, I mean, as you work to undercover a criminal conspiracy. Now, there are a few other quotes I wanted to say about this, including one where they were talking about that it was going for a mature rating, getting away from the more child-centric offerings that have been the most disappointing of the Star Wars options over the years. And for LucasArts, this doesn't mean gore and sensationalism. It means adult themes and stories, another reason for the glowing anticipation about this game.
Adult themes? Is that porn?
No, Eddie. God, no, you're in a weird space this week, Eddie.
Isn't he?
I'm in a horny mood. No, what does it mean? Sorry, let's skip past that bit.
Alien porn.
Let's edit that bit out.
Leave that in.
Ben's not going to fucking edit. Ben can't be asked to edit these days.
No, not anymore.
What does that mean then, sorry? If it doesn't mean gore, then what
like,
does that mean?
Adult themes means like murder and, you know.
It's also like the swearing like and stuff like that, just like movies. Like if you've got a certain amount of swear words in, so.
Yeah, but okay. Adult themes and stories, they do mean things like theft, murder, sex work to a degree would probably come into it if you're looking at an underworld, let's be honest. That sort of stuff is going to be there. And it was one of the reasons that people like myself were really looking forward to this. not the sex work bit. The gritty underworld bit.
Yeah, the gritty underworld. Exactly. That's what I was referring to.
Thank you.
What's wrong with you?
Kirk's the guy who played Cyberpunk for far too long doing the sex stuff.
I lost all of my eddies in there, okay? What do you want from me?
But there was only like two options. Yeah, no, never mind. Anyway. So anyway, I should probably say that this was revealed at E3 in 2012, and at the time was being developed by a lot of LucasArts, I think, and Lucasfilm as well, and was built in the Unreal Engine at the time. And this was meant to feature full body performance capture as well. There was an emphasis on fast-paced combat centered around human skills and physical weapons instead of force powers, which... at least for me, was another of the massive selling points for this, by the way, guys. Like, how long have you wanted to play as a bounty hunter in Star Wars? Let's be honest here.
Well, there was Star Wars Bounty Hunter on the GameCube, wasn't there?
But you...
I'm just looking at what year that was that came out. I assume that was before this game. So it was 2002. Yeah, massively before. Obviously, that was a precursor. And I think this game was supposed to be a sequel to, or the natural sequel to Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
It was a successor sort of thing, wasn't it? Yeah, that was the intent.
But like, you look at this game, like, and it is a lost cause. And a lot of people, it's probably one of the most famous games to ever be cancelled after such a development period. There was gameplay, there was all this kind of stuff. It was announced at E3 and all this kind of stuff. It to me, it just looked like an evolution on the games like KOTOR and taking it to that dark kind of bounty hunter stuff. The bounty hunter world is definitely one that needs to be explored more, and especially now after The Mandalorian. Now it's like prime for this type of game.
Exactly. And this actually at the time was meant to tie into Underworld. Do you remember that Star Wars idea? That was another TV show they were looking to do.
Star Wars Underworld. I didn't know that. Yeah.
I think it was set in 1313, and this is why they were meant to directly tie together. And I imagine that it's the reason The Mandalorian's done well means there may be some thought of this again. But everyone loves the underdog. That's the key. And all we've had in Star Wars is the big dogs fighting, haven't we? We've had the Jedi one side, the Sith the other, the big, grand, sweeping space opera story.
Jar Jar Binks.
What was that, Eddie?
Jar Jar Binks.
That's what I thought you said. Okay, that, yeah.
I thought you were naming yourself.
The true Sith Lord, yes.
That's all we've ever really seen until Mandalorian came along. And
yes,
this is one of the reasons why I think we all wanted 1313, was it was to get into the underdogs of the Star Wars universe.
It's a great point you just made, because I think one of the reasons this could have been cancelled for a number of reasons, but one of the things I think at that time, Star Wars was all about Jedis.
Yeah.
And if a game wasn't focused around a Jedi, I think you're a bit on shaky ground. And you're right that all the TV series spin-offs and things like that, and even the what's the Star Wars film? The excellent one, Rogue One.
Rogue One.
That was good.
Even that, which isn't Jedi centric, like they are very successful now, and now it's almost more acceptable for games to go in a non-Jedi route.
Exactly, and it's very annoying to me to think that this was basically 5 years before its time, and it probably would have been fine.
But my God, it looked good.
It did. Yeah. So some further gameplay footage of this was leaked earlier this year, January 26th, I think. Something came on the Vault YouTube channel. You can still find it there, showcasing some of the gameplay. And it looks well ahead of its time for 2012.
Oh, definitely.
Ridiculously good. And it was... this was a hugely hyped thing that then vanished. And I've forgotten the other point I was going to make, but it'll come back to me. Go on.
it's amazing because you have wanted to talk about this game on this podcast for probably a year.
Yes.
And they're still releasing like gameplay footage or whatever from it from years ago. So much so, it was so ahead of its time. It looked amazing. Around the Cantina area, it almost had that like cyberpunk feel. I was watching footage of it today and I was thinking, does it look as good as I kind of thought or remembered or whatever? And yes, it fucking does. Yeah. Like, you're like, wow, this almost holds up because it just looks like a 720p video, but it looks good. And you're, the movement around and little cutscene stuff, excellent. The chase sequences, yes, the environments could do a bit of work because obviously it wasn't a finished game, but ultimately looked really, really good and really tidy. Because of this, the big nature of this game, like, the way that this is setting things up going forwards, we do know, I think it was about a month or two ago, I said on this podcast about a bounty hunter game for Star Wars, and that we got a number of tweets saying, there is a bounty hunter game coming, or thought to be, and I think it's that Ubisoft game that's being developed. No confirmation around that, but there's a Star Wars open world Ubisoft game being made, and that could be themed around a bounty hunter or the Mandalorian or something like that. That's the hope anyway.
You would really hope so. And you get the feeling that they're going to take bits and pieces from this. The level 1313 in Coruscant was featured in the Clone Wars. So they clearly didn't give up on the setting, let alone on other things. I would imagine if Ubisoft are making a game about it, they're probably stealing bits from it. Because this one is definitely dead in the water. Like, we're 10 years on, it's dead. It's definitely gone. But
dead.
Sorry. I think the reason I wanted to raise this, because I'm still looking for this type of game, even now. Like, remember when Fallen Order came out? I really wanted that to be that if you drew your lightsaber, you were essentially fucked. That's the level I wanted that game to be. And actually, you were just a normal Jedi running around fine. You know what I mean? But I wanted it to be the point that the moment anyone even had a suspicion you were a Jedi, you were in trouble. And again, it's that idea of that you've got to blend in or hide, which a bounty hunter is going to be doing, and which would have been a really cool idea for Star Wars Fallen Order, in my opinion.
You can make something so much more gritty. Mm-hmm. Because the problem with the Jedi thing, and I love KOTOR, that's my favorite Jedi based game. Yeah. But the problem with the Jedi is that you draw that lightsaber and you should hit someone once and they're dead.
Yes.
But that doesn't happen. And it kind of, it's got that, you know, it kind of sucks the immersion juice out. Nice. And I think you, something like a bounty hunter game, you can get so into it, it can be so gritty because you are just another person fighting.
Exactly. With just,
and it's skill level based.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I mean, I will slightly link it back there, Ben. Imagine again having a Jedi game where you know you can one shot kill with the lightsaber, but you don't want to give it away. That'd
yes.
be sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be such a sick thing to have to balance. If you do, you've suddenly got Inquisitors all over you or whatever. That'd be amazing.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
But again, being that bounty hunter and being not one of the strongest figures around would have been a really cool dynamic in that universe. And especially, imagine running into a Jedi in that game, like where all you've got is blasters. That would be a nightmare. Well,
I think that type of game could even draw somebody like Kirk into playing a Star Wars game.
I could see that. I thought he was framing in the background then.
Yeah, he's framing you.
Wait, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can now.
Yeah, okay, yes, right. Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking to myself, I'm talking, guys. I'm not on mute. The thing is, for me, I appreciate what Star Wars is for everything that it is, and I understand why everyone loves it. I've just never taken to it. I don't know what that is, and I wouldn't know what a game would need to do to draw me in enough to want to give it a go, because I'm not hooked by the lore of Star Wars, so why would I want to play something that's around that lore? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand. You haven't bought into the IP, so it's not going to immediately pull you. But this is the thing. If you came into it where you've got a game featuring cover-based combat, platform gameplay, and playable cinematic, like, surely that's going to link you in if it's getting all the hype. Don't you think?
I mean, could give it... I mean, I'd have to wait and see at the end of the day. But do we know... do we know what... do you remember that woman that is making head of a Star Wars game? But do we know anything about that game yet? We don't, do we?
No, that got cancelled as well.
Yeah. What, the second one?
I think. Yeah. It was announced the other day, was it? The one that was announced the other week, you mean?
Yeah.
Jade.
But we don't know what that game is. That could be anything.
No, and I think there are quite a few Star Wars games kind of in development at the moment. The Ubisoft one is the one that I'm pinning a lot on, because that is a genuine one that has been disclosed and open world. So Ubisoft are, you know, I know they do make a lot of open world games. I know they do have a lot of things on the map, but if you make it Star Wars, get the right team on it, maybe it really could be something in this nature. And they are following, probably this type of game is the perfect thing for them to follow on from, to use it as inspiration. Especially, you might even get people who worked on this game moving over to that one.
Very possibly. But I don't know. I suppose for me, what I'm trying to say with this whole thing is that this feels like you're never going to get something quite like this. You know what I mean? Because we all got so, at the time, everyone got so caught up in the idea of what it could be. And now you're never actually going to know.
Yeah. This is kind of like if Cyberpunk never released. It's exactly. That kind of level.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's historic level.
Yes. But I did think we should also take a moment to think of any others in this sort of thing that we wanted to play and we've never seen.
Well, I've got one.
Go on.
Do you remember Silent Hills?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the game that came out exclusively on PS4 in 2014, and it was produced by Kojima, and it was in collaboration with filmmaker
Guillermo.
Del Toro. I'm going to call him Del Toro. I know that bit. basically, this was it came out under the name PT, which stood for Playable Teaser, but it never saw the light of day because the fallout between Kojima and Konami over Metal Gear Solid 5, and obviously led to his infamous leaving of Konami, meant that he was no longer attached to the project. So it kind of died a death. But this is one of those things where people were fucking hyped for this game. And because of the teaser, the game, the little demo that they put together, it was scary as fuck. Like, it would send shivers down your spine. Even looking at it now, like, I've seen little like playable trailers of it, but people playing, and it's just like, we don't have anything like that, like, and nothing like that has come since this was announced, and it's just really disappointing because it's like you said, Pete, it's like one of those things that you'd be all in, but and it hits all the notes, but for some reason it's scrapped, and obviously, you know, the 1313 has its reasons. This one's because of creative differences, and you know, it's just a fucking shit thing to be in. When they give us something and then they take it away like that, I think that's like possibly the worst thing.
Yeah, Kirk, are you buzzing at the potential Silent Hill new games, remakes, all that type of stuff?
It depends on what route they take.
Or brand new game, or
yeah, I think if they, because I always Silent Hill was always more of a psychological mindfuck, which is, like I said earlier, like a game like that is the kind of thing that I would like to play now, because I find those scarier than your survival horror style of game. Like, I'll be creeped out by something that's survival horror, but something that if I see something that I think I can see in the distance, but actually maybe it isn't there, maybe it is the game fucking with me? I don't know. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If it does that, then I'm all in. But it depends.
I wish Kojima on a horror game would be fucking awesome.
Oh, he would like, fuck you up.
Well, Kojima in Death Stranding, I love Kojima in like on Death Stranding, just fucking so much shit in that game, like so much weird fucking nonsense. Yeah,
I think you picked the sales patter for that one.
No, he did. I was going to say so much shit in that game. Yeah,
there's so much fucking nonsense. Yeah, like yeah, love it.
Either I feel we're wandering away from the topic here, which is games that you wanted in the past, then.
No, I don't. What I'm getting at with this one is,
because I fucking least love Death Stranding.
Death Stranding, fucking great game. What I'm getting at is that at least there is something similar that could be kind of taking that game on, Silent Hills, and that the other one that I thought of was Scalebound, and Scalebound is kind of like the infamous. It's that action role playing game that Platinum Games were developing, and then it was cancelled in 2017, I think, by Microsoft, but there are continued rumors that that's actually going to come back, and even at the June event for Microsoft in a week or two's time, there's even like the potential Scalebound could be, people are still talking about Scalebound to this day, like it's that one that, and it's because I think Platinum Games came out fairly recently and were like, yeah, we'd still love to do Scalebound. Like, we'd still love to do it. If Microsoft won a tour, we'd still love to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Platinum Games have not made a good game in a hot minute, so maybe they shouldn't be involved. But, and just like Silent Hills, it's there is potential that could still happen at some point.
Yeah.
What about you, Eddie?
The first one that came to mind was Scalebound, but there was also Agent... which was Rockstar Games. They were creating it. It was an open world stealth game about spies. It was announced in 2007 at E3 as a PS3 exclusive. I remember being excited about that and then never hearing about it again. I think they've still got the copyright or something to it, but it's obviously dead. It's a very long time ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, but, you've gone back away.
Yeah, with Rockstar, with their open world, you know, like, I love stealth, I love open world. Yeah, that would be cool.
Well, Eddie, Rockstar don't make video games anymore.
No, they just...
Yes,
they just...
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Actually, if they call it
GTA 5 DLC Agent, that's fine. I'll still play it.
That'll drop in a decade's time and we'll all still buy it.
One that I'm really surprised that you haven't mentioned, Pete, is Hollow Knight Silksong.
Fuck you. And fuck you again. Yeah. Let's not go into that one. But if people wanted to tell us their lost causes, Ben, how would they get in touch with us?
You could. I'll do the socials right, because when Pete, where Kirk was on another podcast yesterday, he got all the socials wrong. So
on my stream.
Yeah, no, you were right. Much better than Kurt, because Kurt literally got every single one wrong.
Yeah, I had them in front of me, but it didn't say what was to what one, so I kind of guessed.
That's fine. You just read them out. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But you can email us at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us at grumpygamerspod. And then our YouTube and Twitch are Grumpy Gamers Podcast.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and we will be streaming on Thursday. Remember that. So, Thursday, 7 p.m.
There will be a stream.
And each and every Thursday, that is the plan.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, no pressure. It's not like some of us are running businesses or anything. So.
Every Thursday, Kirk, 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So I suppose I can't even say for this week. For tonight, it's GG. Is GG. That what we say now? Yeah.
Yeah, for tonight, it's GG. Not this week, tonight.
GG.
GG.